It's hard enough to put a loved one in long-term care, a nursing home, for example. It's harder still to keep track of the things that affect them on a daily basis. Long-term care facilities are regulated, and they are monitored on a regular basis as well. Long-term care ombudsmen, never easy to say or spell, are on the watch for correct practices and procedures in long-term care. The program is built around volunteers who get lots of training. Let's learn more about long-term care ombudsmen from Gretchen Jordan, who's the coordinator of volunteers for Oregon Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Gretchen, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on today. Good morning.
Good morning. So LTCOs, I guess, is what you generally go by across the country, huh?
That's right. Actually, the Ombudsman Program is part of the Older Americans Act, and it was created back in the 70s. You know, for a lot of people, when you say that term nursing home, you know, it brings forth all these awful pictures or bad memories. And so a lot of those reforms came about in the 70s, and, you know, things have improved so much since then. The Ombudsman Program has been in Oregon since the mid-80s, and it was created by a group of very forward-thinking people who really understood how much a community-based core of volunteers can make a huge impact on the care and well-being of our elders.
Without the long-term care ombudsman, how difficult would it be for the state agencies and the regional agencies that keep track of long-term care facilities to keep track of them?
You know, it's such a unique setup that we have here in Oregon. I think that, again, that people that have done a lot of this planning before us, you know, really thought forward. In the state of Oregon, there are three agencies that are tasked with oversight for long-term care facilities because, you know, they are licensed. So there is a licensing department, and then there's Adult Protective Services, and they are the ones who do the investigations and follow up for any neglect or abuse claims. And then there's the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. So we provide community volunteers to work in a facility on a one-to-one basis with the residents and with the the caregivers, with the administration. And so if it wasn't for us, there wouldn't be any other state agency or any other entity looking after those residents on a regular basis. The other two agencies, they make regular visits, but they're not on nearly as frequently as we do.
So what's the general run of work for a long-term care ombudsman volunteer? I mean, how often are they going to visit any one particular facility, and what do they do when they're there?
You know, it depends on the type of facility that an ombudsman is assigned to. The four different levels that we're tasked with are the traditional nursing homes, the assisted living, residential care, maybe a rehab center, or it may be an Alzheimer's facility, and then the adult foster care homes. And they're all a little different. But for the most part, for an example, assisted living, we're asking our volunteers to visit at least twice a month. And they don't have to visit with all the residents. A typical facility of assisted living might have, you know, 75 to 100 beds, and they don't have to visit all the residents at once. One of the things the volunteers really like about this program is that they can have a flexible schedule. And you know, if you've ever raised teenagers or been around them, you know, that whole thing of, I'm going to check your room as soon as I get home from work. You know, we don't ask our volunteers to go in every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. We want them to go in at different times, you know, maybe visit with folks after breakfast or pop by in the early afternoons. And, you know, if there's a complaint or a concern, an ombudsman has the right to enter the facility at any time to see what's going on. And they don't have to say why they're there, to protect the confidentiality of the resident and their issue. So, you know, they can really be effective by being able to, you know, pop by at different times and visit with folks. And then it's all about, you know, a big part of the role for a volunteer is listening and asking questions. Sometimes we call it going into five-year-old mode. There's lots of whys. But it is all, ultimately, you know, there are a list of rights that every resident has. And an ombudsman is always going to look to that first. And always look to what is it that the resident wants. One, I think, big misnomer about long-term care in many cases are that people feel like they've lost all of their rights. It's a big change from maybe going from where they were before to now this long-term care facility. But we're always thinking from the perspective, it's not the home, it's their home. And they had all the rights that they did when they lived in their other home, when they move into a long-term care facility.
Interesting. Yeah, you're obviously quite aware of the terminology, the home, as the way we've tended to view it for a long time. But adding the two other letters make a big difference there.
They sure do. And I've had that personal experience with my own family. And the things that I've learned from, you know, working for this organization, I really believe in the mission statement. And there are many, many great and dedicated volunteers and many potential volunteers. As, you know, we're hoping to get more in the Jackson and Josephine County area.
Gretchen Jordan is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She coordinates the volunteers for Oregon's Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program, LTCOs. They keep an eye on senior facilities around the state. You can join us on the Exchange with questions or comments or stories at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Gretchen, you mentioned complaints and the ability to go into the home at any time based on that. Are there any limits on when an LTCO can enter a home without a complaint?
No.
All right. So they can go anytime.
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about the volunteers then. You mentioned Jackson and Josephine counties in particular. You need some people to come in there. First of all, what's the general number of long-term care ombudsmen around the state of Oregon, and what would you like it to be? And then within Jackson and Josephine counties in particular?
Sure. You know, we've got and then the number fluctuates in any volunteer program. You know, there's always going to be people coming and entering the program, especially as we have more trainings for folks. Currently, we've got about 175 ombudsmen. We could easily double that number. We like to be able to have an ombudsman for every facility, of course, and for them to be able to look after about 100 residents. So it could be a combination. It might be a nursing home and then several of the adult foster care homes. So there's a couple of different environments. We find that that makes it a little more interesting for the volunteer and different kinds of populations as well for people to visit.
How much time are they supposed to spend in a week or month doing what they do as ombudsman?
You know, the statutes, because we're a state agency, and I will say that we're kind of unique because out of all the, there is an ombudsman program in every state. And but we're only one of three that is an actual state agency. For example, in Oregon, or Washington and California, they are based out of the smaller community area agencies on aging.
The AAAs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So for us, you know, we could easily use twice that many volunteers, but it's all about, you know, people who really want to make a difference.
Okay. So there must be an upper limit, I'm thinking, to the amount of time they spend. I mean, would they do this 40 hours a week, or would they do it as few as 10, or maybe even less than that?
You know, the statutes require volunteers to be available for 16 hours a month. But in reality, I like to tell volunteers as they go through the screening process, it's going to probably be 5 to 10 hours a week. But, you know, we really include that, you know, in terms of making the visits. There might be follow-up phone calls that you might need to make for the resident or in terms of investigating a case. It could be we do provide additional monthly meetings and lots of training opportunities for people because this is a very fast-growing field and things are always changing. And, you know, when you're working with people, things are always going to be different. I mean, that's one thing I think that volunteers find really interesting about the role. It's fairly unique. There are certainly some things that are very black and white, but there's all sorts of things in between where a volunteer has the opportunity to use their skills to get the best outcome that the resident wants.
Is there a particular field of professional work that people tend to come from for long-term care ombudsman positions?
You know, I think it's kind of neat. There isn't. A lot of people have a background in long-term care because they've dealt with it on a personal level with a family or a friend, perhaps. They've seen what a need there is for an advocate, for those residents to have a voice, and sometimes they want to honor, you know, their loved one's memory to help out. Other people, it's something they've always wanted to do, But it is really interesting because there's so many transferable skills to being an ombudsman volunteer. A lot of people have a management background. Some have a medical, you know, professional background or legal. But, you know, we even have a professional chef, retired accountants, educators, law enforcement, military. I think there's a lot of things about the volunteer role that really appeals to people in different aspects.
Gretchen Jordan's our guest, coordinator of volunteers for Oregon's Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you having her on here. She seems super informed, more than anybody I've heard recently. And I have a question that's a little bit off the wall. This is about long-term care, covering yourself so when you get there, you'll be set up. I had an aunt that had paid, worked her whole life, paid for a house. Back in those days, you know, you'd basically go into a nursing home and give the house to them and hopefully get your money, live a long time. Well, she died like in 3 months, and she lost her whole life savings. And I just don't want to at least my kid get my house maybe. And I just wondered about these long-term care insurances that you buy, and I'm considering it. And I just wonder, nobody seems to have a mechanism to say which ones are good or which ones are bad or which ones are a ripoff. Is there any kind of agency so you can pick and have a standard to go by compared to if you get paying way too much, and if it's a ripoff when you need them, they won't be there for you, and what the requirements are as far as getting into them?
Well, let's see what we can find out. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate that. I suspect this is not right within the ombudsman's purview, but can you suggest another agency to look at, Gretchen?
Yes, the Oregon Insurance Division. And if you go to our website at oregon.gov/LTCO, there's a link directly to the Oregon Insurance Division, and they've got a nice list of the different types of long-term care insurance policies. And, you know, some of that interesting numbers that if you're, you know, going to be a consumer, we don't make recommendations on that, but I will just encourage everybody, you know, I think the top three things, you know, if people were to ask me, you know, what do you wish people really knew about long-term care? And I think the top three things I would say is it's inevitable. Everyone should prepare for it. Number two, it's really important that you take those steps to make sure that, you know, legally and financially, those things are covered. Maybe it's talking to an elder law attorney, but it's definitely talking to, you know, and this is probably the most important thing, is talking to people who care about you that might have to make those decisions if you can't speak for yourself. And people need to know what your wishes are.
The complaints that are made to ombudsmen, what's the most common one that they get?
Well, Jeff, we track those on a quarterly basis, and we'll be posting the latest numbers shortly. But we have the top 10 complaints here. Number one right now is medications, and it's all about administration or organization. It could be under-medicated, over-medicated, missing medications. And over the last three quarters, our reporting year goes from September to October. We had a total of 137 complaints lodged, and then we have it broken down by the type of facility. Another great piece of information on our website is a direct link to substantiated complaints that are produced by the Department of Human Services. Again, they also, like I said, track all of those complaints. But if you're going to be a good consumer, if you're looking forward and planning ahead about where you might be staying, or if you're looking for someone else you care about, there's some great information there. Again, we don't make recommendations. But it's like any other large purchase. It's really important to do your homework.
So you can actually check out facilities by name on that site?
Yes, yes. You can look like in a particular county or by a particular type of facility, or you can look up that facility specifically.
Now, if an ombudsman is dealing with a complaint that appears to rise to the level of abuse or neglect, I mean, this gets referred then off to a different agency, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right, to Adult Protective Services. The ombudsman is happy to serve as someone who can help provide information. But really, at that point, their biggest role is to watch out for retaliation. You know, and our agency is not about providing an adversarial environment. It's really about protecting the rights and dignity and helping with that level of trust. It's about establishing a good working relationship with the facility staff and in that position of trust with that resident.
I was going to ask about the adversarial relationship because it certainly could develop, I guess, but you're trying to make sure that things are fairly smooth with operators and with clients as well.
Yeah, I mean, we really believe that they want to give good care, but, you know, they're working with people, and sometimes things happen. But we've always found that, you know, it is very much working with people jobs. So people skills are very, very important in understanding. And I would say there's a tremendous amount of support and resources from our tiny but mighty dedicated staff here, as well as, you know, we really encourage volunteers, of course, to work independently in their own facilities, but not necessarily in a vacuum. You asked earlier about other volunteers. I think we have a team of 5 volunteers in Josephine, and I think 8 volunteers in Jackson County, and we're excited that we've got a training coming up next month for several new volunteers, but there's certainly room for more folks, especially in the Ashland area.
Where would the training be, and how do people find out more about it?
You know, it's going to be in held in Medford. It's a 5-day training, which, again, is one of those things that's required by the statutes. We provide a 48-hour or 5-day training. But it is going to be held in the Medford area beginning August 19th. If people are interested in applying, I would encourage them to visit the website. They can download an application there, or they can call me directly. And this is why we're kind of a unique little state agency. I'm willing to give you my direct line.
I'll take
it.
You
ready?
Yeah.
It's 503-983-3920. And I'm happy to talk to you about being a volunteer. I cannot resolve cases, however, if you've got a concern or a complaint or even a question. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Okay.
People should be asked to call the 800 number, which is 1-800-522-2602.
All right, we'll put both of those numbers up on our website for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program for the state of Oregon. Gretchen Jordan coordinates the volunteers. Gretchen, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.